And I want you to go down. I'll read the first three verses a little bit later on in the message. But I want to go back to verse 4, where he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And then he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, Brother Bill mentioned this when he was praying, but my first sentence that I had in my notes tonight was, "Living in perilous times makes comfort difficult to find." And we are living in perilous times. And if you watch the Democratic primaries, it's like a circus show. It's ridiculous. And then it's good entertainment. And then, but with the diseases that are going around, you've got the hepatitis, you've got the carnivorous, you've got locusts that are in different parts of the world eating crops coming across. And it's like, wow, things are kind of crazy out there. Beyond that, in our country, there is so much division on so many different levels. So we're living in perilous times. And it does make comfort difficult to find. However, as sheep, and we've been talking about the shepherd, the Lord, and the sheep as children, as sheep, we find comfort in the presence of the shepherd. We don't look to the world or look to government, although we pay attention to it. We don't look there to find our comfort. We look to Jesus, our shepherd. So as we move along in this 23rd Psalm, you're kind of moving closer and closer to the shepherd. And I do want to mention this. I was talking to Brother Weber about this the other day. I love this psalm, and I mentioned to him, I says, because it's so personal. And my first point tonight is this. Our shepherd is personal. Now, I want you to notice again in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So as you're there, he is speaking to the Lord, and I want you to notice he said, "For thou art with me." Now he begins to speak to the Lord, and you can speak to the shepherd because he's personal. You know, it's a lot easier to talk about the Lord than it is to talk with the Lord. You can say, or I can say, "Ma'am, I have a wonderful Savior. He's just a great Savior. He provides all my needs," and we brag on him, and we ought to brag on him, and we should be exalting him and testifying about him. But I'm going to tell you something. We should also be talking to him. It is one thing to talk about him, but it's another thing to commune with him, and we ought to do both. We ought to brag about our shepherd. We ought to brag about our Lord. We ought to brag about Jesus, but we ought to commune with our shepherd as well. I want you to go with me back a book to the book of Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. This begins this book. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright and that feared God, and he eschewed evil." Now, in God's eyes, you would have to say that Job was a great man. There are four things that are mentioned there in that verse alone that speak about Job. Now, I'm sure that Job, go all the way down. I want you to skip all the way to the end of the book. Go to chapter 42. I'm sure that Job could talk about God, and just like you and I can. But it seems like after God had dealt with Job in the middle section there and purged his life, I want you to notice this, verse 1, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything," which we just sang about, "and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not." It seems like when Job was saying, "When I spoke before, I really didn't understand what I was saying." So he says, "Who is he that counsels without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." And Job did say some wonderful things if you've ever read through the book of Job. Then in verse 4, he said, "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And it seems like now all of a sudden you get to the place where Job says, "God, I really know you now." Remember what Paul said when we read there in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10? That I might know him. Now, Paul's not a newborn babe in Christ when he writes that. He's the guy that's written, and Philippians wasn't the first book he wrote either, by the way. But he wants to know the Lord. And I have to wonder this. I have to wonder how many believers would admit that we are at the place in our Christian lives where we can talk about the Lord, and we can brag about the Lord, and we can even tell other people about the Lord, but we really do not have much communion with the Lord. And we need to have communion with the Lord. We can place emphasis, and by the way, we do place emphasis on these things. We can place emphasis on serving the Lord, and we should. We can place emphasis on soul winning, and we do, and on witnessing, and we can place emphasis on all the things that God has done for us. But we all know that we need to place the right emphasis on the communion that we have with spending time with our God and praying and fasting and being alone with God and coming to know God as we should know God. Because I really think that's what God wants us to do. You see, our shepherd is personal. There is multiple personal pronouns when you read that 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We are not to view him from a distance, though. We're to commune with him. Now, those first three verses, let me go back to Psalm 23. I mean, these are some wonderful verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I mean, those are some wonderful things. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He says, even in the valley of the shadow of death, God, you're there with me. But then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here is where we learn to make it through the great trials of life. When we learn the truth that God is personal and that God is with us. You see, Jesus is more than a fact that we quote. We say, boy, God's done this and God's done this. He is to be a reality in our daily lives. I mean, just as you walk about, I should preach a series on this. You can be filled with the Spirit. You can be indwelt with the Spirit. But you know that you can walk with the Spirit. And you can walk with God. And that's that communion with God that I'm talking about, that he is to be a reality in our daily lives. And I think in a lot of Christians' lives, he's not a reality in their daily lives. We must have faith in God and know this, that thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Several years after Paul had been born again, years after he gave his life to serve the Lord, he wrote that passage that we read over there earlier in Philippians chapter 3. And he said to verse 10, that I might know him. Paul said before that, everything I had is like a dunghill compared to Jesus Christ. It's just nothing. We're to have that type of communion with the Lord. Paul was saying, yes, I serve him. Yes, I live for him. Yes, I preach about him. Yes, I testify of him, and he did all of those things, but all of this is not in order to know him, because he says, I do know him. And then he said, that I might know him. I serve him, I live for him, I preach for him, and I testify of him, but I really, really want to commune with him, because our God is personal. He lives within us. David said, thou art with me. So now he's talking to him, and he's communing when he says, thou. He's talking to the Lord. We are to cleave unto the Lord, to lean on him, to walk with him, to commune with him, to know him, and to fellowship with him. It's like living in a home sometimes. You can be married and be lonely. You know that? A husband and a wife, a lady can know what time her husband goes to work. She can know what time he's expected to be home from work. She can know everything that he does. She can know what he likes to eat. But feel like you're living with somebody who is just a bunch of facts. I know this, and I know this, and I know this, and I know this. And they have no real intimate fellowship with their husband or with their wife. That's how some Christians are with God. They know all these facts about God, but they really don't know the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want a distant relationship. He wants a close, personal relationship with all of us because our shepherd is personal. Secondly, our shepherd is powerful. Now, you'll notice there in verse 4, he said, thy rod. You know, the shepherd uses simple things. He uses a rod and he uses a staff. And a rod was his weapon. It was more like a club where the staff would be longer and usually had a crook on the end of it. But the rod, that was his weapon. And young shepherd boys, they would learn how to master how to use that rod. And if they had to, they could throw that thing almost like a spear and hit whatever it was that they were trying to get away from the sheep or the lambs so that it would run away. I mean, they knew how to handle that. The staff was a long stick, and most often it had that curved end on it. And it was used to lean on by the shepherd. He would lean on that thing. But it was also used to guide the sheep or to retrieve the sheep. Now, you've seen when you were a kid on a cartoon when somebody reaches out with a cane and yanks somebody back in. But the shepherd would actually do that to a lamb. Oh, let's say a lamb or something fell into the water. They could reach down and they could retrieve it. Or if a lamb got stuck in some briars, they could reach that long pole and they could move them around and then they could help guide the sheep out of the briars. Could pull a lamb out of danger. The sheep knew the shepherd had the rod to guard. And he also knew he had the staff to guide. That's why thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The sheep realized that the shepherd had all the power he needed, and he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because the rod protects me and the staff guides me. The rod and the staff, it's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. I want you to look over there at Exodus chapter 14. Moses had been given the responsibility to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He led them out. He came to the Red Sea. The sea is in front of them. The armies of Pharaoh are behind them. And what do these people do? They start complaining. Look at chapter 14, beginning in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now, was that why Moses brought them out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness? No, they're self-deceived and they're complaining. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptian? For it had better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And this is really their attitude. So they say, Moses, you brought us out here to die in this wilderness. We'd rather be in Egypt and die there. Now, if you look at the first part of verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not and stand still. So the first thing they realize is, Moses, you're saying, fear ye not. Can you see that way and can you see that way? We're trapped. This is what they were. They were trapped. Now, continue reading. He said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And so God, he says, you just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We read from one perspective. They listen from another perspective. Because we know how the story ended. We know they ultimately crossed over, and Pharaoh's army went down into the sea, and of course, they were buried. But then Moses goes on and says this, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, whose battle was it going to be? It's the Lord's battle. Some of you are fix-it kind of people. Some of us like to fight for ourselves. You know why? Part of our old nature. You say, Pastor, that seems to be, you say that all the time when you're problem. You always say it's that sinful nature. Well, that sinful nature is quite a problem. And we all have one, by the way. We all have a besetting sin, and may God help us to deal with that besetting sin. But notice it said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now let me continue in verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thou up thy rod, see that rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now here is a rod. Remember everything God did with Moses' rod. Remember all the different things that happened in Moses' life, verse 16 now, verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And by the way, God did. God told Moses, stretch out thy rod. Moses stretched out his rod. Now, when a Hebrew, fast forward to Psalm 23 now, when a Hebrew who knew that story read Psalm 23 and he read about the rod, he would think about what God was able to do. God was able to protect him. God was able to deliver his own and to defeat his enemies. Then if you will, you don't have to turn there, but in Leviticus 27 and verse 32, the Bible says, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So the sheep, the shepherd would hold out the rod, and the sheep would pass under the rod. That's what you're reading about. And he would usually, he would count the sheep to make sure they were all present. Not like Sean and Bill when they count kids and make sure they're all present. They're not always present. But anyway, so they would count the sheep. And usually he would touch the sheep when it passed under the rod. And so that's what he would do. Now the same hand that deals with us and chastises us is the hand that cares for us and loves us. And as they passed under, he checked them to see if they were hurt. He would move their wool with the rod. He could see beneath the surface to see maybe they were injured somewhere that day. That's what the psalmist refers to. Now look, if you would, at Psalm 139. Verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Take that rod, push that wool away, look in there, see what's going on in there. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's a good prayer to pray. It really is a good prayer to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. God knows you better than you know you. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And then he says, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Because God's people ought never want to have sin in their life. So he says, search me means look beneath the surface. And the psalmist prays, search me, Lord. Look beneath the surface of my life and show me, Lord, what I need. And find in me what should not be in me so you can lead me in paths of righteousness and everlasting. Do you ever thank God for what he has stopped from happening in your life? Do you ever think about, and Mark Pelletier and I have talked about this more than once. Do you ever think about where we might have been, where we could have ended up? It's not, you know, sometimes it's not a pretty picture that comes into our mind. But thank God he stopped some things in our life. He may have stopped you from where you were headed and what you were going to do and who you were going to be with or things that you would have done that were not what you should have done, and you know that. Thank God he puts us under the rod and he searches us. The shepherd used a staff if they got out of line. Now I've read of if a sheep was jittery and nervous, the shepherd would walk by the sheep and touch him with his staff and pull him in a little bit, and the sheep would just walk next to the shepherd. And you know what it did for the sheep? It comforted them. Thy rod and thy staff they comfort me. And it would calm, the shepherd's staff would calm the sheep. So the rod represents to you and I the powerful word of God. That's what it represents. And the staff represents the Spirit of God that God has given to guide us. And his rod and his staff, his word and his spirit, they comfort us. The psalmist comes to the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, my shepherd is personal. He is here with me. He says, my shepherd is powerful. He has a rod and he has a staff. I have nothing to fear. Whatever I face, he will use the rod to protect me. If I can't find my way, he will show me the way with his staff. His rod and his staff, he says, they comfort me. One last thought. Our shepherd is present. The shepherd is always present with the sheep. If the shepherd never wandered from the sheep. You read the story in the New Testament where there was the 100 sheep, but the one sheep wandered away, but the shepherd didn't go anywhere. But the shepherd finds the sheep. He's always present help in a time of need. Whatever we face in life or in death, whatever we have to deal with in life, whatever we have to deal with, God is always present. You know what his promise is? The Hebrews? Somebody already said it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Man, we have an awesome shepherd. Amen. I mean, we have an incredible shepherd. Father, I thank you that you're my shepherd. I thank you that I have your rod. I have the word of God. I have the Spirit of God indwelling in me that I can be filled with and walk with and be guided by. And you have just blessed us with these spiritual blessings. And I pray we would understand the personal shepherd and how personal he really is to those of us that try to walk with him. He is an ever-present help in time of a need. He's powerful. He's present. And he's personal. And may everybody here tonight remember those. Those are precious truths. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.